Kick Stalin. To je jako Love Life. Senhor
Mr. President, members of government, Mr. Vice President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Mr. Director of the Program Coordinators of the Council of Europe, Vice Presidents of the Parliament, members of Parliament, President of the Executive Committee of North House Center, so Vice Director of Executive Director of the Council of Europe, dear laureates and their representatives, ladies and gentlemen. Portugal has acceded to the Council of Europe 50 years ago. For a young democracy in its consolidation path, this accession was by no means a coincidence or a formality. It was a purpose. It was a perfectly conscious option. Deciding for Europe and European convergence, being on the side of democracy, human rights, and universal, the rule of law, universal human rights. In the last 50 years, we become active members of the Parliamentary Assembly of Human Rights and the European Court of Human Rights. And we have adopted in the Portuguese legal framework more than 50 resolutions of the Council of Europe, which consolidate this committee. Throughout these decades, it's become obvious that human rights cannot be taken for granted. We have seen too often and in many forums some compromise in relation to human rights to justify the interference of other states or because of a mere geostrategic interest or political interest. We've seen violations of human rights which have been rendered relative in view of some circumstances, religion or political circumstances, simply to defend what is politically correct. The existence of this award is also a reason for discomfort. It reminds us to be reminded of what is essential. Human rights are universal. To be universal means precisely this. They are applied universally. They are not just something that is typical of Western society of Europe. They are not just put into practice by liberal democracies. They are not a result of a convention or conference. They are innegotiable human rights, universal human rights. They will be applied to every woman or man, regardless of the country they live in, regardless of their race, religion, age, or sexual orientation. This award reminds us that in human rights, we can never compromise. We cannot have double standards. There are not half freedoms, or there are merely rights, freedoms, and guarantees as a whole. And it also reminds us that it's not enough to defend human rights in this course. We require concrete actions, courage, the ability to be a bit and to make others feel uncomfortable. So those who have been deprived of these rights have a greater responsibility, the responsibility to promote in a fierce way its applicability everywhere. And this is precisely what we are awarding today. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the award of the North House Prize is a great opportunity for for us to reaffirm these principles. This is something to push us further in the defense of democracy and human rights. The example of Mr. Draghi, Branson through the Barnhus houses remind us that human rights start at the childhood, and it challenges us to look for new models of protection of children. The cross-cutting strategies which you bring together different stakeholders, always with children at the center of their decisions. The recognition of Rami Abu Shamos is also a very important signal for the challenges Palestine faces. And I'm not just referring to the Gaza conflict. I am referring to the defense of human rights in that territory. And I refer to the actual protection of rights, freedoms and guarantees, the freedom of speech, freedom of information, the right to be informed, the right to inform, because a free press is not simply used to impose scrutiny on the war, but also to have to scrutinize powers. Every year, the North House Prize reminds us of a crucial truth. Human rights do not exist in isolation. They depend on all the others, and they are they are mutually enriched. My rights are linked to the rights of a child in Palestine, or to the freedom of press in the Middle East, and to all the shared values as human beings. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, it's not by chance that the North House Prize is awarded in Portugal, and this has been so for many years. It's not by chance that the Council of Europe has established in Lisbon the North House Centre. Portugal is an European country in its identity, but also universalist in its vocation. We have been always a meeting point between cultures and peoples, between the North and the South. To live up to this legacy requires more than words. It requires to defend universal values, even when this brings some discomfort, and particularly when this somehow brings discomfort. This is precisely what this prize is a symbol of. Thank you.
I will now ask the acting president of the North-South Centre, Lala Buhamedi, to take the floor.
Excellence.
No sound, I'm afraid.
Excellence, Monsieur le Président.
Your Excellency, the President of the Portuguese Republic, Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament, Vice President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, a Director of Programme Coordination of the Council of Europe.
Okay.
We want to hear you.
Okay. Je répète donc. Excellence.
Allow me to resume. Your Excellency, President of the Portuguese Republic, Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament, Minister of Parliamentary Affairs, Secretary of State for European Affairs, Director of Programme Coordination of the Council of Europe, illustrious members of the Portuguese Parliament, distinguished laureates of the North-South Prize, members of the Executive Commission, of the North-South Centre, ambassadors, Your Excellencies, illustrious guests. It is with a deeply felt sense of honour and true emotion that I take the floor today upon the occasion of the 31st award ceremony of the North-South Prize of the Council of Europe in my capacity as representative of the North-South Centre. Allow me first and foremost, on behalf of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, which I'm honoured to preside pro tem, to address our sincerest thanks to His Excellency the President of the Portuguese Republic, as well as the Portuguese authorities, for their constant support, their indefectible engagement, and their renewed hosting in this prestigious Senate room. The hosting, which has always been marked with both which has always been both solemn and friendly, this year has a particular signification insofar as Portugal is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the for having joined the Council of Europe. This landmark or bears witness to the profound attachment to the values of democracy, human rights, and rule of law. For three decades now, the North-South Centre has been enhancing dialogue, solidarity, and cooperation between the North and South, all the while reminding all and sundry that the values in question are not optional, rather necessary in building a fairer world, a stabler world, and a more human world. This conviction is all the more essential inasmuch as we are now living through a particularly critical period marked by deeply felt tensions, by persisting geopolitical fractures, by a disturbing progression in hate speech, as well as by humanitarian crises that daily engage our collective consciousness. Armed conflicts to violences inflicted upon children, from attacks to freedom to inform, to questioning the fundamental principles of international law, are challenges which we have to live up to, and they seem both multiple, complex, and closely linked. In light of these challenges, the North-South Prize remains a symbol of hope and trust in the future. Mr. Bragi Gudbranson has devoted his life to the promotion and the protection of the rights of children. His pioneering work has contributed towards advancing in Europe and beyond the judicial and institutional responses to the violence and sexual abuse perpetrated against children, namely through the Barnahus model that puts the best interests of children at the very heart of public action. Through his engagement within the Council of Europe and the United Nations, he has also contributed in a major way to advancing international standards on the protection of children. Mr. Rami Abu Yamous, a Palestinian journalist, stands for an important voice in as a field witness in a context marked by profound human hardship. Through his tales of daily life in Gaza, he's contributed towards bringing clarity with restraint and sensibility to the realities lived by civilian populations. His work reminds one of the essential role to be played by a rigorous information and independent information, one paying close heed to the human dimension of events, as well as the decisive role of journalists called upon to document the effects of conflicts in particularly complex and hard circumstances. The path of both our laureates is different, but they bear witness to one same demand, to refuse to be indifferent in light of human suffering. Through Mr. Yamous and Mr. Gudbrandsen, we pay tribute to the pride of place given to justice, concrete demands that must shape our action. We call for the protection of civilians, the respect of humanitarian international law, to the unimpeded access to humanitarian aid. The role played by the North-South Centre in this regard has been relevant in furthering the protection of peace, the call for a living multilateralism which enhances peaceful international coexistence. In such a disturbing context, the voice of our laureates is most precious. Their action reminds us that peace is not to be decreed, but rather patiently built by trust, by listening, and by persevering. Honouring today these two personalities, we don't just pay tribute to exceptional paths, we rather state in a solemn and hopeful way our demanding and luminous vision of our common destiny, i.e. of a human community that chooses dignity rather than indifference, dialogue rather than retreat, solidarity rather than resignation. Your action embodies this very simple idea. Individual engagement may indeed alter collective consciousness. Excellency José Saramago, a Portuguese writer and a Nobel Literature Prize, invites us to such stance when he wrote, if you can look, see. If you can see, notice. These words resonate today with particular strength insofar as they remind us that seeing is not enough, one must understand, and understanding is not enough, one must act. At a time when silence may sometimes seem more comfortable than words and indifference lighter than engagement, the profiles that we honour today lead the way of courageous lucidity, of a faithful solidarity, and a common humanity seen as our highest responsibility. Thank you very much.
I'm going to give the floor to the Director of Programme Coordination of the Council of Europe, Klaus Neukirch. You have the floor, sir.
Your Excellency, President of the Republic Antonio José Seguro, Mr. José Pedro Aguiar Branco, President of the Assembly of the Republic, Minister of Parliamentary Affairs, Mr. Carlos Abreu Amorim, Mrs. Ines Domingos, State Secretary for European Affairs, Mr. Antonio Guterres Limones, Vice President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Mrs. Lala Soumya Bouhamidimi, Acting President of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre of the Council of Europe, dear laureates, excellencies and gentlemen, I'm humbled and it's a great honor to address you today on behalf of the Council of Europe at this award ceremony for the North-South Prize. For more than three decades, this prize has recognized women and men whose work reminds us that human rights are not sustained by principles alone. They endure because individuals, institutions, and societies, often with remarkable determination, defend them in practice. This year's laureates embody that commitment in two profoundly important areas, the protection of journalism and defense of protection of children. In doing so, they remind us that democratic societies are ultimately measured by the ability to protect the vulnerable and safeguard the truth. Mr. Bragi Gudmundsson has devoted his life to strengthening the protection of children against violence and abuse. His pioneering role in developing the Barnahus model transformed the way many countries approach child protection and child-friendly justice. By bringing together judicial, social and medical support services in a safe and coordinated environment, Barnahus places the rights, needs and dignity of the child at the center of institutional response. The Council of Europe has long worked to advance this vision through standards, monitoring mechanisms, and concrete cooperation activities. The Lanzarote Convention, the most comprehensive international treaty dedicated to protecting children against sexual exploitation and sexual abuse, and the guidelines on child-friendly justice have helped to shape more humane and effective responses across Europe and beyond. Today, the convention is open to countries worldwide and already brings together parties from beyond Europe, illustrating the global relevance of these standards and the importance of international cooperation in protecting children. Mr. Gudmundsson has played a central role in this progress, not only through his contribution to the development of these standards within the Council of Europe, but also through his tireless efforts to translate them into practical systems capable of improving children's lives. The Barnahus model demonstrates how human rights principles can become effective public policy. And it reminds us that democratic institutions are strongest when they're able to protect those who are most vulnerable. We also honor today Mr. Rabi Abu Yamuj, who cannot be with us. We honor him at a time when journalists face growing threats across the world. His reporting from Gaza has demonstrated exceptional courage and professionalism. Through his work, international audiences have been able to witness the human realities of war, displacement, and loss under extraordinarily difficult circumstances. His commitment reminds us why freedom of expression and the safety of journalists remain essential. At the Council of Europe, protecting journalists is not only a principle, it is an area of sustained action. Through the platform for the protection of journalism and safety of journalism, through our Journalist Matter campaign, and through our standards and cooperation activities, the Council of Europe works with governments, media actors, and international partners to strengthen protection for journalists and combat impunity. Because journalists are more than observers. As recognized by the European Court of Human Rights, they are public watchdogs whose work is essential for accountability, pluralism, and informed democratic debate. This comes with a responsibility. And this is even more critical in times of war and crisis when independent and professional reporting by journalists may be one of the few safeguards against disinformation, dehumanization, and silence. Mr. Abu Yamu's work powerfully illustrates why these efforts matter. Ladies and gentlemen, although their work differs greatly in form, today laureates share a common conviction that human dignity must be protected through concrete action, through professional integrity, and through institutions capable of upholding rights and practice. And this is also the mission that guides the Council of Europe. Through conventions, through monitoring missions, through concrete cooperation activities, and through dialogue, our organization seeks to ensure that rights are not theoretical, but effective, that they are upheld, that justice is accessible, that freedom is protected, and that democratic societies remain resilient in the face of violence, fear, and division for the democratic security of our societies. The North-South Center plays a unique role in this effort by fostering cooperation and dialogue beyond borders and by strengthening partnerships rooted in shared values and mutual responsibility. So, allow me also to express our sincere gratitude to the Portuguese authorities for their continued support to the North-South Center and for hosting this important ceremony here in Lisbon again. This year's edition carries particular significance as Portugal marks the 50th anniversary of its accession to the Council of Europe. For five decades, Portugal has made an important contribution to advancing the values of human rights, democracy, and rule of law within our organization and beyond. The long-standing commitment of Portugal to dialogue, multilateral cooperation, and democratic values has also been essential to the work and development of the North-South Center itself. To our laureates, your work inspires us because it demonstrates that principled action can make a real difference, whether by protecting a child, defending the integrity of information, or giving voice to those who risk being forgotten. The Council of Europe is proud to honor your contribution today. Muito obrigado.
I'm now giving the floor to Vice President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Mr. Gutierrez Limones.
Buenos días, Presidente de la República de Portugal, don Antonio José Seguro, Presidente de la Asamblea de la República, Secretary of State of on European Affairs, Excellency, Ambassador, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. I am from Andalusia, from Sevilla. So every time I came to Portugal, it's the feeling we have when after being away for a while, you open the door of your home. It's the feeling of happiness. Estoy encantado de estar aquí en Lisboa con todos vosotros. But today I am especially pleased and honored to be with you to represent the President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Ms. Petra Bayer, and my colleagues from the 46th Parliament. The close link between the Parliament Assembly and the North-South Centre is a long-standing one. It was, in fact, the Parliamentary Assembly which, back in 1984, organized the first ever parliamentary conference on the themes of North-South Europe's role, a conference which took place at this Parliament and which began a process culminating in the establishment of the Centre in Lisbon in 1990. I would like to take this opportunity to the presence of the high authority of your country, the President of the Republica, to express our warmest thanks to Portugal and his constant support to the Centre, and for being so active in raising public awareness of global interdependent issues. I am also particularly happy because the two outstanding award winners of this year, Mr. Bragi Gudbranson and Mr. Ramia Bujamus, have not only provided by their action and commitment to the fundamental advance of human rights, but they are, in their respective field of activity, closely connected to the Parliamentary Assembly priorities of work. I would like to underline here the interdependence between Parliament and civil society. As much as it's true that the objective of building a more equal and just society cannot be realized without the full involvement of civil society, it is equally true that national parliaments are well placed to reach this goal. The Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe has dedicated a lot of attention to the support of journalists in Gaza, calling urgently for an end to the devastating humanitarian crisis in Gaza and the protection of journalists working there. Noting that since October 2023, more than 200 journalists, mostly Palestinians, had been killed and dozens detained. More especially, it acts inter alia for free and safe access to Gaza for the journalists and media workers, so they can continue doing their job there and tell the world what is happening there, and for the evacuation of Palestinian journalists and their families from Gaza, and for the provision of psychological and material support where necessary for their protection. We are now working on a report that will be presented in the plenary soon on journalism in the context of the Israel-Gaza conflict. And we have a dedicated general reporter on media freedom and the safety of journalists. That's why I would like to send and praise for his courage to Mr. Rami Abu Jamu. And for today's second award winner, Mr. Bragi Gurubranson, I can confirm that our Committee on Social Affairs, Health and Sustainable Development used the Bernahos model to promote child-friendly justice and children's rights as part of our next raising campaign, 1 in 5, to stop sexual violence against children. We have also dedicated many reports over the years to the issue of children's rights, addressing child abuse, violence against children in institutions, forced marriage, promoting children participation, and recently we are working on the issue of vicarious violence. I can only commend the wonderful work of Mr. Gabranson and express him my admiration for his achievement. Ladies and gentlemen, the innovative and visionary character of the North-South Center was based on the idea that the fate of Europe is connected with the idea that nations and people of the world depend on each other in a complex web of economic, social, cultural, and ecological relations, demanding wide-range international cooperation and mutual understanding. 36 years after this creation, the center is more relevant today than ever. I would like to add that a future based in solidarity and equality can only be achieved if we join forces, governments, parliaments, local and regional authority, experts, NGOs, and civil society representatives coming from countries of the two shores of the Mediterranean. Muito obrigado.
I'd like to invite the President of the Republic to hand in the awards.
Suas Excelências, o Presidente da República.
His Excellency, the President of the Republic, and the Speaker of the Parliament will hand in the North House Prize to Bragi Gurubranson.
Sua Excelência.
His Excellency, the President of the Republic and the Speaker of the Parliament, will now hand in the North-South Prize to Rami Habu-Jamuz, represented by Sara Grida.
No microphone. The interpreters are very sorry, but the speaker has not turned the microphone on. I'm afraid that we cannot hear the laureate. The interpreters are very sorry, but we cannot hear the laureate.
O nosso laureado. Canal 2.
Puis Gaza, depuis cette terre, où le monde regarde mourir en direct, depuis cette prison à ciel ouvert, où on vit à Gaza City. Oui, je dis bien Gaza City.
We are living, says the speaker, under a Gazacide. A genocide is tantamount to killing a people off. But what we are living through isn't solely tantamount to killing a people off. It's killing history. It's killing the land, education, health, archaeology, the past, even the future, and mainly humanity of Palestinians. I would have sincerely have enjoyed to be physically with you in Lisbon, in this house of democracy, but the occupation decided otherwise. To leave Gaza and to return there too has become well nigh impossible. Each departure, each return depends on extremely limited authorizations granted by the occupation army. To leave Gaza has become a privilege that is reserved to the dying. A few dozen wounded per day are given such an authorization, whereas more than 20,000 patients are waiting, doomed to a slow agony, wanting for care. And to go back is even worse. The occupation closes us off, isolates us, smothers us. I'm addressing you from the House of the Press, an establishment that we that I contributed to its creating with several fellow journalists, namely my friend Bilal Yadala, unfortunately killed by the occupation army during the war. To be amongst you in the House of Democracy would have had a deeply symbolic meaning, because this place stands for the meeting between history and the present, between the memory of the struggle for freedom and today's struggle for human dignity. Portugal is well aware of said values. The revolution, your revolution, has shown the world that a people may transform history through courage and democratic will. Today, still, the memory of the Revolution of Carnations resonates well beyond the Portuguese borders. The major Portuguese poet, Fernando Pessoa, wrote that freedom is the possibility of isolation. In Gaza, even that freedom has been stolen from us. We are amassed, we are persecuted, we are hungered, but we still refuse to shut up. I would first and foremost like to thank you most sincerely for having chosen me, for granting this prize to me. Your recognition is deeply moving, but allow me to say clearly from the word go that I do not see this prize as a personal distinction. I receive it on behalf of Palestine, on behalf of Gaza, on behalf of all Palestinian journalists. I receive it on behalf of those that are still living and that are continuing to work at the very heart of the ongoing genocide, on behalf of those who were killed by the occupation army while they were simply carrying out their profession, on behalf of those that were wounded, amputated, imprisoned in the occupation jails, on behalf of those who are still officially classed as missing and whose families remain ignorant of their destiny. But this prize is also a recognition for all the victims of this genocide, a recognition that their voices were heard, the voices of children killed in schools where they thought they'd found refuge, the voice of women massacred by Israeli bombings while they were living in makeshift camps after having lost their houses, the voice of entire families under the rubble, the voice of those who were left to be buried without any goodbyes and whose bodies still remain under the rubble, the voice of those who were killed by the Israeli occupation, then left on the streets to be devoured by animals, a scene of absolute humiliation, where even the right to be given a dignified burial after death is refused. It is also a recognition of the daily sufferings of Palestinians, namely those in Gaza. Families living for years under tarpaulins in fragile tents, piled up onto each other in makeshift camps. Parents that spend their days looking for water, bread, or a modicum of safety for their children, children who are growing amidst the rumble of bombings, hunger and fear. And nevertheless, behind each figure that is publicized, there's a human life. We are not figures. We are not statistics. We are human beings. Each person killed had a name, a face, a family, dreams, ambitions, a history. Each child born, each child killed by the occupation army dreamt of becoming a doctor, a journalist, a teacher, an artist, or a football player. each mother was simply trying to protect her children. Each father wanted to offer a dignified life to his family. What is taking place today in Gaza isn't just a war, it's Gazacide, a genocide, more than 70,000 deaths, entire families stricken off the records, an ecocide, poisoned land, torn up olive trees, a nature sacrificed, an urban side, entire towns destroyed, stone after stone, a memory side, burnt libraries, bombed universities, erased archives, an infanticide, a generation of children massacred or traumatized for life, a human side. We are denied even our right to be mourned, buried, to be human beings. The occupation isn't just killing Palestinians off, it is killing Palestine. The great Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish wrote, "We have on this earth what makes life worth living." This prize is also a response to all those who tried to deny our existence as Palestinian journalists. For years, some have spoken at Gaza as if there were no Palestinian journalists, as if our words did not exist, as if only others could tell our reality. Today, this international recognition bears witness to the opposite. Yes, we have Palestinian journalists in Gaza. Yes, there were. Working. Yes, they're documenting. Yes, their voice matters and the world listens to them. This recognition, it's also a proof that our work is seen, followed and understood by all those still seeking truth in the midst of noise, propaganda and disinformation. Palestinian journalists have documented this war without any breakups, image after image, name after name, face after face. Your Excellencies, before concluding, allow me to thank all those who supported me financially and morally in the work I did, all those who amplified my voice, my writings, my footage, and all those who I have never met personally, but who have never stopped supporting me, reading what I write, watching what I film, sending me messages and letters of solidarity. I want to thank my family and very specifically my wife Saba. It's thanks to her that I've been able to continue working. She is indeed my strength and stay. I also would like to thank my children, Walid and Ramzi. Every morning before leaving the house for work, they give me strength and hope through the light shining in their eyes. Even if in my heart of hearts, every morning, I formulate the same question, will I see them again? Thank you very much yet again for this prize, for your solidarity, for the attention that you focus on Palestine and Palestinian journalists. Let this prize be a clear message that Palestinian journalists are not alone. The Palestinian people is not alone. Gaza is not alone. The Gaza side shall not come to pass. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Merci pour vos paroles et bon.
Thank you very much for your words and all the best for your mission. I'm not giving the floor to Bragi Gudbrandsen to address the plenary. You have the floor.
Excellency, President of the Portugal Republic, Mr. Sergio. Excellency, President of the Assembly of the Portuguese Republic, Aguiar Branco. Ms. Lala Boamidi, I'm the acting President of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre of the Council of Europe. Mr. Klaus Neukirch, Director of Programme. Mr. Antonio Gutierrez Limones, Vice President of the Parliamentary Assembly. And Madame Secretary of State for European Affairs, Madame Domenico, and last but not least, Mr. Rami Abiu Jamuz, Fellow Laureate of the North-South Prize. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, during my almost 50 years of professional engagement, I could never have imagined that I would one day receive such an honor as the one bestowed upon me here today. I find it difficult to put my thoughts and emotions into words. Perhaps the deep appreciation and heartfelt gratitude best express what I feel at this moment. My thoughts turn with gratitude to the many colleagues, child rights professionals and partners, past and present, with whom I have had the privilege to work over the years. I also feel profound joy when reflecting on the remarkable achievement of the Council of Europe in developing and promoting standards that have strengthened the protection, support, and recovery of child victims and witnesses across and beyond Europe. I would like to use these few moments that I share with you with the story of Barnhurst, the children's house, and how collaboration between local initiatives, international organizations, and committed professionals can produce tangible and lasting results for children affected by abuse, neglect, and violence. Barnhurst did not come into being as a fully developed model of excellence, nor was it the product of the brilliance of any one individual. It began as a simple idea, an impact-first idea, that evolved gradually through dialogue and cooperation with professional parents and, most importantly, children. 4 decades ago, while serving as a director of local social services in Iceland, I encountered my first case of suspected child sexual abuse. At the time, Iceland, like many other countries, was largely in denial about the very existence of child sexual abuse. This was before the adoption of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, and before child rights-based international standards had taken shape. I vividly remember my empathy for the 10-year-old girl at the center of the case, as well as my frustration and helplessness in trying to navigate a system that lacked procedures, guidelines, and appropriate responses. From that experience, I learned several lessons. First, child sexual abuse is not only a child protection case, a health issue, or a criminal justice matter. It is all these simultaneously. Addressing it, therefore, requires the involvement of multiple agencies and professions, child protection services, healthcare providers, the police, prosecution, lawyers, courts, and mental health professionals. Second, I learned that all these institutions dependent upon the child's narrative in order to fulfill the legal and professional obligations. Yet, at the time, there was virtually no training in how to interview children appropriately, combined with the widespread belief that children were unreliable witnesses. This led to children being subjected to repetitive interviews, often in multiple and adverse locations and through inappropriate questioning. The result was poor evidentiary quality of testimonies and too often secondary traumatization of the child. Very few cases resulted in prosecution. And those that did proceed to court, children were often cross-examined face to face with the alleged perpetrator, an experience that could itself be deeply harmful for the child victim. Years later, when I became the Director General of the Government's Agency for Child Protection in Iceland, I had not forgotten that 10-year-old, nor the lessons I had learned. In 1998, the first Barnahus was established in Reykjavik. The term means literally house for the children. The idea was very simple, but transformative, to place the child victim at the center of coordinated and multidisciplinary and child-friendly response under one roof. Barnahus brought together child protection, healthcare, mental health services, and the criminal justice system in a way that reduced the fragmentation and minimized the additional trauma for the child victim. One of its most important innovations was integrating child-friendly forensic interviewing into the judicial process through audiovisual recording. This made it possible to preserve the testimony, the evidence, effectively, while sparing the need for the children to repeat their accounts or to appear in court. Hence, Barnahus sought to ensure that children could access justice without sacrificing their dignity, their well-being, or their recovery. There is no doubt in my mind that the Council of Europe has contributed more than any other international organization to this development. The Council of Europe guidelines on child-friendly justice reflected many of the principles on which Barnahus is based and explicitly recommends child-friendly and multidisciplinary centers for child victims and witnesses. The Lanzarote Convention marked another decisive milestone in advancing child-friendly justice and multidisciplinary response to child sexual abuse across Europe. The work of the Lanzarote Committee has played a pivotal role in promoting Barnahus and similar structures throughout Europe and the Council of Europe activities supporting implementation in particular states has been very significant. These instruments and activities of the Council of Europe have had a direct impact on national legislation and practice. They have also influenced, very importantly, the jurisprudence of the European Court of Human Rights, which has increasingly emphasized children's rights to dignity, protection, and psychological integrity within judicial proceedings. In 2018, I had the honor of being elected to the United Nations Committee on the Rights of the Child. I'm proud to say that the committee's recommendations to the state parties have consistently promoted child-friendly, multidisciplinary, anti-sectoral responses to abuse, neglect, and violence, and increasingly the Barnahus model itself. Mr. President, before I conclude, I wish to express my admiration for my fellow laureate, Mr. Ramia Abu Yamous, and thank him for bearing witness to the genocide in Gaza, particularly the suffering of children in Gaza. My warmest congratulations and greetings to him and all children of Palestine. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you to the Council of Europe for being a platform for the preservation and advancement of values that are essential for the survival, dignity, and flourishing of humanity. Thank you very much.
Going to give the floor to the President of Portugal.
Senhor Presidente.
Mr. Speaker, Vice Presidents of the Parliament, representatives of the parliamentary groups, members of Parliament, Secretary of State for European Affairs, acting presidents of the Executive Committee of the North South Centre of the Council of Europe, Mr. Director of Programme Coordination of the Council of Europe, dear diplomats, dear laureates, ladies and gentlemen. I start this with an acknowledgement. It is with a bittersweet taste that I address you on the awarding of the North South Prize to Ransom Rami Abu Hamous. This peculiar feeling is explained somehow by the brutal contradiction of the current times. On one hand, the countries and political leaders invested in tragedy, disseminating the spies for human rights, denying what we thought we had consolidated, a civilization based upon humanism. On the other hand, the voices which are now becoming huge and which shake indifference, voices which call us back to the essence of our human condition, voices which care to award this appeal or this cry is undoubtedly more than a pleasure. It is a duty and simultaneously something to be thankful for. Thankful for what is ours, for what we are, for what unites us, for what brings us into a dream. Tomorrow will be better. The same dream that Walid, son of the journalist Ramit Abu Yamuz, that one day justice will prevail. His father, in his diary, at the same time as he describes the cruelty that his family, like many others, trapped in Gaza, are being submitted to, are being victims of, he creates a protective fantasy for his three-year-old. And I read an excerpt from the logbook from Gaza. Lately, and I'm quoting, drones and helicopters have been flying over our zone. We clearly see them from the ninth floor of our building in the center of the city of Gaza, one of the few buildings that is still standing. While we were talking, a missile was launched from one of the helicopters, like a whistle. We've seen part of a building be destroyed and some hundreds of meters away from ours. This is what Walid calls, in his childish French, the fireworks ever since the beginning of the war. I made him believe that missiles and bombs are simply a fireworks, but when he was approaching his fourth anniversary, he starts to understand that his fireworks can be dangerous and the helicopters are not there to help us. So he wanted to call the police. Those helicopters were not using fireworks in the right way. It was meant to destroy houses. Walid is on a step by step, you know, leaving his fantasy world that I created for him and that I wanted to spare him from the mortal reality we're living through. The deadly reality that Rami Abu Yamuz is telling us about can be summarized in the way of life, escaping from bonds, the purpose in life to survive with the family, the lifestyle. Each day is a constant upheaval, life's emotion, despair, the life spirit, injustice, the testimonial is death. Sharing our lives is to be listened to and to appeal to the conscience of humanity. In opposition to some of them that in comfort, in their own comfort, watch the images of warfare and do not feel it because the banalization of violence and disenchantment become something which brings us a negative feeling. They are hiding behind indifference. However, Ramit Abu Yamuz and many of his comrades are not silent like many journalists. He tries to describe the reality distorted by arms and propaganda, the news of barbarism, of human tragedy. So journalists are witness of this barbarism in many conflicts that spread violence across the planet, but particularly in Gaza and Lebanon. According to the Committee for Protection of Journalists last year, from the 129 journalists who lost their lives while they were working, almost half were killed in Gaza. According to the same organization, and I quote, "The Defense Forces of Israel was the governmental entity which killed more journalists ever since the committee started to document cases in 1992. This very year, 16 out of the 27 journalists killed were victims of attacks by Israel, according to the NGO Press Emblem campaign. Most of the deaths has occurred in the Middle East, particularly in Lebanon and in Gaza. The violence on the side of countries which become warfare states, the support provided by the superpowers, they use procedures that are mere violation of human rights. All these smothers the hope of a life lived in justice and in peace. And even the sign of a treaty does not necessarily mean the end of war. The traumas will persist, particularly in children. During this conflict, in particularly in the weakest children, their condition is not considered a priority. It's one of the forgotten facets of warfare and violence. Ukraine is such an example. But I suspect that the psychological destruction felt by these children, even more serious in conflicts such as Sudan, where the lack of protection of the state structures is almost complete. So to know how to take care of these and other types of violence that children are submitted to is to make possible in the future the justice that should have been that we should have today. This is the knowledge of another laureate, Brigden Grimbans. It's a very difficult name to pronounce, but I confess I have to say it quite many times. But the vocation and his knowledge are very easy to understand and admire. And his contributions, and I quote, have strengthened the multidisciplinary judicial solutions and adapted to children in view of violence and sexual abuse, at the same time helping to have an impact on the international standards of child protection through their work with the Council of Europe and the United Nations. The fact that Brage Gudbrandsen leads or is a member of several international organizations dedicated to the rights of child and the protection of children is the very proof of the recognition of his work. Investing in multidisciplinarity and the model he created, Ban House, in Portugal means the house of the child, to provide a solution to children who have witnessed or victims or are victims of all sorts of violence has inspired several countries. Brage Gudbrandsen is also the author of several studies and a book that also requires from our side a particular intention, particularly for the judicial system and the social security authorities. When defending, and I quote, that children should grow up in the midst of their families in moments of crisis or difficulties, families should get support from public authorities to help them solve their own problems, adapting each specific situation, and fostering should be an exception, a temporary solution, which should be as short as possible, end of quotation. And let me make two other references. The first, to the Parliament, for hosting the award ceremony of North-South Awards. This is a tradition which is surely a source of pride for Portuguese, for all members of Parliament, and in particular to the Speaker of the Parliament. Another reference I make is to the Council of Europe and the North House Centre, the relevant role they have in promoting democratic values and human rights, the direct involvement of almost 50 countries, the initiatives already made, and in particular the international conventions are a witness of the important work that they develop. Currently, more than a testimonial, this work is a driving force that can put a stop to authoritarian regimes that is being felt even in the so-called democratic regimes. This is why the award is very important. So let me go back to what I said at the beginning. To make a distinction between voices which are becoming great and which shake the worldwide indifference, the voices which remind us of our human condition, the voices that take care of the weakest, and which go against violence, is to award subject the action and also the verb to love. To both laureates, my sincere congratulations and a wish that we will meet again and making the dream possible. Tomorrow will be better. So I bring this session to a close.
Senhores convidados, agradecemos que permaneçam nos vossos.
Please be seated until the president leaves the room.